Blog Talk Radio.
Fallen 21. Four City Wimbledon. Wimbledon.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Okay, Jay, I got it from here, dog. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for at least the next 90 minutes in Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. Sports City, I am well rested, been around the country, and I must say I appreciate everything in my life. Thankful for everybody that's been tuned in to us and to the progress that we are looking forward to moving forward. The sport world has been in a frenzy as of the month of December being the last of the bird month. You know, it was originated here in Sports City with the bird month. But this is week 17 in the NFL. Me, including a lot of other people in the United States and around the world, this will be the last of their team playing football for the year unless they have one of the 16 teams that are eligible to move forward, or 14, I think it's 14, that are eligible to move forward to go into postseason play. And I'm at the edge of my seat to see what happens next within the city of Detroit with the Detroit Lions. I will be getting into that as soon as possible. We also have an interesting slate of games that went down in the bowl season, beginning in the latter part of December and, cruising into a very interesting national championship game, where this took place a few years ago. And, the outcome came out different when other people thought it would go the other way. So I'm going to start off as best as I possibly can until the kitchen starts to fill up. First and foremost with the bowl season, like I said before, things going down. We have within this past week that went by, and excuse us for the cookout not being recorded or, you know, people for the week. But we will be back in slate as of this Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. Bowl season, like I said, back underway. I don't know which game to start off with, but I'll start talking about the shell shocker that shocked me. First and foremost, on Wednesday night, the Oklahoma Sooners took on Florida. And I don't know if I get to call this a throttling. I know I'm going to call this a blowout. This is by far a blowout. But sixth-ranked Oklahoma wins this game 55-20, in which Florida was only able to attain 20 points in this game, 13 points by a half, in which the score was 13-31. And Kyle Trask ended up getting benched. Now, with this play right here for Kyle Trask, it is very interesting to see how this Heisman Trophy situation pans out, because to me, Trask was one of the leaders for it. Now, clearly it's between one of the Alabama players, unless this voting goes crazy. I think it's between Devontae Smith or Mac Jones. I want to see how they pan this out. But Trask, with the way that he was played and he was benched in a game, in a meaningful bowl game, I think this sets him back some. So I do have to tip my hat to Oklahoma, the way Oklahoma was able to get through this season, starting out on a high note and then losing a game and falling as far as, you know, the low teens and into the 20s and having to fight their way all the way back up into being the sixth-ranked team in the nation. So I do tip my hat to Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma Sooners. He had a very interesting day, 247 yards, 3 touchdowns thrown. Ramondre had an interesting day with 186 yards rushing and 1 touchdown. He basically averaged 10 yards a carry on 18 carries. A good day by Oklahoma. That was a shell shocker for me to get that one out of the way. Some games were canceled due to the COVID situation, and I feel bad that this is the time and era that we're dealing with, you know, loss of games, if you will, if that's the right thing to say. There was another bowl game that a lot of people saw that drew a lot of scrutiny, in which Mississippi State won their game up against Tulsa 28-26, in which Mike Leach had some very interesting comments to say at the end of the game, because this game actually had a fight after the end of the game. And Mississippi State having a 4-7 season, and that was the fourth win for it, got in the midst of it, and Mike Leach basically said his football is going to happen, almost seeming like he condoned it. And ever since Mike Leach left Washington State, they always had a high note going into Washington State on the first couple of games, and they would start to lose games, and he would always say something interesting, or it just he's just a very articulate dude. Like, and I'm saying this, like, I'm trying to say this in a worse scenario case, but him going out of Mississippi State, having this type of season, I wonder if the question marks still remain around him if they do bring him back next season, with everybody around the college football atmosphere looking at the way that this, I want to say this emotion was controlled by the team as well as the coaching. But Mississippi State wins their game 28-26 in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Now, the score doesn't dictate how this thing went down, but Alabama won their game up against Notre Dame, moving into the national championship, winning that game 31-14. Notre Dame scored a touchdown late in the fourth to make it look handsome, if you will, for them to lose by 17. But Alabama clearly had their number. They had Ian Book running all around the field. And like I said, Mac Jones, probably one of the favorites to win the Heisman, especially with Alabama being 12-0, 297 yards passing, 25 of 30, only 5 incompletions, 4 touchdowns thrown. Devontae Smith, the normal usual suspect, 7 catches, 130 yards receiving, and 3 touchdowns. It's like this guy is going to tear you up regardless, a ton of speed. And they're lucky that Waddle's been out all season. If Waddle was there with Devontae Smith, they would be throttling people. And just to ice the cake, Najee Harris had 125 yards rushing off of 15 carries. So, like, everything is working up against Notre Dame. And this is a good season by all means by Notre Dame. Notre Dame played a great season this year. At the end of the season, they just started to lose. They lost the ACC championship to Clemson, and then they lost this game to Alabama. But I tip my hat. Ian Book had a decent career at Notre Dame, not too many losses, and one of the better quarterbacks within what they were able to do in South Bend for his 4-year run. Now, speaking of which, me talking about Clemson, and this makes it very interesting moving forward. Ohio State wins this game 49-28, in which of me saying this, right? This is tough because I am a Trevor Lawrence fan. I can't lie. I don't like Clemson. I don't like Clemson, but I do love the way that this kid plays football. Trevor Lawrence had a 400-yard day passing, 2 touchdowns thrown, but he was, you know, he looked questionable, and they blitzed him a lot, and they got to him, and this is probably what you will start to see with Trevor Lawrence going to whichever team, however it pans out. It's looking more like he'll end up in Jacksonville, unless Jacksonville really believes in Minshew magic, which I don't know if they're going to stick with Gardner Minshew or not, to be honest. But I think Trevor Lawrence will end up in Jacksonville. But think about it. It's Jacksonville. And they don't have the best of offensive lines. I mean, they're probably going to do the best that they can. They're going to try to keep him as clean as possible. But he's going to struggle out of the gate. He doesn't have a ton of targets down there. I mean, he has Chark, you know, one of the bigger names. And I just question how he's going to look, especially with a team like Ohio State that was able to send pressure and get to him. It's going to be like that for him in the AFC South with the Titans, the Colts, especially with the Colts revamping their defense and getting after it too. And Jacksonville is a team that always gets picked on. So with Trevor Lawrence's future going into the NFL, potentially going to Jacksonville, this is a question that I have around him. If it's not against college or high school talent, it's going to be against professionals that are all up to speed and know what you like to do. I want to see if he's able to be successful. I'm a fan of his. I'm not going to lie, but it's going to be tough, especially the way Ohio State controlled that game, especially defensively, and not letting it get out of hand, especially with him having a 400-yard day passing and it still didn't help them. They lost by 21 points. They got blown out. And like I said, Trey Sermon, the running back, basically torched them. 31 carries for 193 yards rushing, a touchdown as well. And Cornell Powell, being a receiver for Clemson, was the best receiver for Clemson, had 8 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns received. Again, it bothers me because I don't want to see Trevor Lawrence have to have a bad start to his career. But just like Joe Burrow, I was a fan of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had a bad start to his career in the NFL and ended up getting knocked out within a fracture, if you will. So I want to see how he's able to bounce back. I don't wish injury on anybody. So I'm hoping that he's able to be efficient and not get injured in the midst of this. But Ohio State, I tip my cap, especially with Justin Fields and the gutty play that he did. And he got hit by Skowski, I think the guy's name is, and he led with his helmet. So they ended up getting him kicked out with targeting. And Fields came back in the game, threw a touchdown, and coasted this one out. They did not rely on the backup to take care of the game. So Ohio State advances to the national championship and playing Alabama with their 7th win of the season. Now, I know a lot of people, especially in my circle, that are questioning how and why Dabo Swinney was able to talk junk about Ohio State and giving them bulletin board material because he said they should be 11th ranked. And I think that was more bulletin board material than anything, especially going into this game where they have to be charged up to go up against Clemson, a team that's been to the national championship at least 3 times out of the last 3 years. So, like, this is very interesting for Ohio State to be going up against Alabama when there were teams that had undefeated runs within this season and played more games. But I understand they're looking for money. They got to do what they got to do. But I'll leave that to the hands of the people. And they're going to have to expand this. I'm sorry. They can't leave it to 14. They can't. There's a lot of teams that have been doing good work throughout the season and don't get shown the gratitude at the end of the day. They can go undefeated and end up playing in the Armed Forces Bowl and not be recognized other than just winning that bowl. So the committee, they have to do something. It's bothering me. And also another thing that's bothering me is the targeting rule. I get it. I understand that you want to keep everybody safe and the concussion situation is an issue, CTE, everything that follows along with it. These kids know what they're signing up for. I'm not saying like, oh, we'll go out there and just be archaic and barbaric, things like that. No, but if they're trying to make a gesture to make a tackle, and they're not trying to, you know, knock this guy out into a concussion situation, but you can't kick good quality players out of a game for the remainder of the game. It's almost like teams are looking forward to that. They could run a slant route and have the receiver be mid-level trying to catch the ball, and the guy is going to put his body in a place of trying to make the tackle and end up, like, hitting him low, you know, or trying to get as low as possible. So this is very tough moving forward on how the committee or the NCAA looks at the targeting rule. And I don't think they will change it because they're trying to keep everybody safe, but this is just something that I'm thinking off the top of my head. Other bowl games before I get away from the bowl games. Georgia was able to beat Cincinnati 24-21, and Cincinnati was undefeated up until this point, losing their last game at the end of the season. This is another situation, like I said, Cincinnati could have been there because they played more games and they were undefeated, didn't get the recognition, and they got bumped from 6th to 8th, and I don't know why, but I'll leave that to the NCAA to handle that. And another bowl game, Northwestern was able to beat Auburn 35-19, in which they finished their season 7-2. Auburn was 6-5. And looking at Bo Nix's career, I want to see what happens next with him also. Down at Auburn, he had 25 completions of 42 attempts, 292 yards passing, and a touchdown thrown. Northwestern basically cruised all game long, almost shutting them out in the first half. They gave up 6 in the second quarter and did enough to knock them out in the fourth quarter, scoring 14 points in the fourth, while Auburn was only able to score 13 within the whole half. So the bowl season was crazy. Yesterday also there was a game with Texas A&M and North Carolina. They were going back and forth. If you did not see that game, that was an instant classic. Until the fourth quarter, Texas A&M found another gear, and Devon Achane, I hope I'm not butchering this, But he had 12 carries, 140 yards, and two touchdowns. And one of the touchdowns that he had at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, it was well over like 60, 70 yards. But he was about to fall at the line of scrimmage. He basically fell off of his blocker, his lead blocker with the tight end. And then somebody hit him, and it was like it almost stood him up. But he had the strength to stay up when he got hit. And he started cruising down the sideline and put the score out of reach for North Carolina. North Carolina made this a good game. They fought back to try to get back into this one. But Sam Howell and company just I don't even want to really just say fell short. They were within this game, but just couldn't, you know, get back into it and, you know, tie this thing up. But it was tied at 27-27. Then this got out of hand. Shout out to, and I don't like to give him a shout out because he was a rival, but Jimbo Fisher probably had one of the gestures of the year, because you wouldn't expect one of these 60-plus year old coaches to do this. So the game was getting ready to end, and they're up here trying to get the Gatorade bucket. And some of the trainers are like, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, you know, trying to advise them not to do it yet. And then the game's ending, and then he's looking like at the Jumbotron because he knows that they're trying to set him up. So he starts to try to run out there like a jog, and then they got the Gatorade bucket, try to douse him. And he ran at least 50 yards toward the end zone, so the bucket drops. Hilarious. I was screaming laughing because I wouldn't expect Jimbo to get his run on, and he was streaking down that freaking field. And funny, but they ended up getting him at the end of the game somehow, like a little bit on his shoulder or whatever. But that initial bucket that they had ready to douse him with, he outran the entire team that was trying to bear hug him. You know, that's the good part about football, when you win and they douse somebody. I called this. The next bowl game that I do have, I was with a couple of my friends, and I said, watch this be an upset. And it shouldn't be because of the way that they're ranked. But I said, watch Iowa State beat Oregon. And I said, soundly, they win this game 34-17. They doubled their score. Oregon giving up a good amount of points in the first half, giving up four touchdowns. That's all that needs to be said. Oregon couldn't even score in the second half. And Iowa State with I don't even know how to call the season for Iowa State for the success that they've had. To end up being 10th ranked, I can't even realize the last time Iowa State was probably in the top 10 in the nation ever. But they did it, especially beating a lot of the teams within the Big 12 that deserve, you know, recognition of them beating them, being the Texas game or Oklahoma, things of that nature. Iowa State was able to take care of business winning this game, and they have nothing to be ashamed of, having a 9-3 season and Oregon being 4-3. And what bothers me about Oregon is they always have, you know, speed all over the field. Their offense is spectacular when it's clicking, but when it's bowl season, it's like something goes wrong. Like always at the end of the season, like Oregon falls apart, and I don't know how or why, but I leave that as it may. Iowa State, I tip my hat to you, especially on the success that you guys had this season. Oregon continue to, you know, shock people in the early portion of the season, whether it's September, October, and November. But once you get to December, you guys have to step it up. I don't want to sit up here and call you out, but it's true. You have to step up. Another bowl, which was the Outback Bowl, Ole Miss took care of business up against Indiana, which Indiana was playing well all season long, only having one loss on the season, losing this game 26-20 up against Ole Miss. Ole Miss ended up pushing their record, finishing the season at 5-5, ending at 500. Indiana, you started out on a good bang, winning some meaningful games at the start of the season, and within this eight-game realm that you guys had, I got to give Indiana respect, but they ended up losing this game by a touchdown. They tried to make it a game in the fourth quarter. Last but not least for the bowl games, Kentucky wins their game 23-21 up against North Carolina State, which was a very interesting game to say the least. North Carolina State tried to make it a game. They tried to get back into this, cutting the lead to two. But Kentucky did just enough to seal the deal. And to me, because I've seen Hockman play when he was down in Tallahassee, as well as being in North Carolina State as well, he looked sluggish. And I don't know if it was the long layoff or them not being able to get out there and play some ball. But Kentucky did what they needed to do. They picked him off. He looked flustered all day. And especially with the receivers and the players that they do have, I questioned, you know, at that point in time what was going on with the Wolfpack. But The Wildcats took care of business. So now next Monday is the national championship, Ohio State versus Alabama. Just to let people know, Alabama is favored by 8. The over-under is set at 75. This is letting me know that this will be an old-fashioned shootout. I don't know who this favors because the points that Ohio State was able to put up on Clemson, it has me concerned now. It has me concerned. It ain't just like, oh, Alabama's going to throttle them, but Alabama is the favorite and should win this game, but anything can happen. I just wonder how Justin Fields feels by, I want to say at least by Saturday or Friday. I'll give him Friday, Saturday, because, you know, it's a turnover right there. That Sunday, adrenaline will kick in, and he'll be like, the national championship's on the line. I don't care how I feel, you know. So I want to see how he feels at least before they get to that field and set it off down there in South Beach because they're playing in Miami. Yeah, but if I was Saban, I'd have to touch him. They got to send pressure after him. Like, we won a championship. I'm not going to sit there and be all, you know, nice and make sure we don't touch it, even though a lot of these referees are giving these linemen and linebackers half a step before they hit a quarterback because they're calling roughing the passer way too quickly on these guys. So, it especially with him nursing these ribs or whichever injury is bothering them at that point in time, that they have to be aware of that situation. But again, refs are too quick with it. To me, I feel like they're being too quick with the roughing the passer call. It's like if these guys are trying to make the play, and if he hangs onto the ball, they have to make that tackle. So if he's getting the ball off in half a step and they still hit him, they call roughing the passer. It's like, I don't know. It's like, what are they supposed to do? And, you know, these guys fought like heck to get to this quarterback in a two-second time. It's like, you know, a lineman's dream is to make that sack happen. So I don't know. But to me, I think it favors Alabama. I can't pick a winner at this point in time. If I could, I would. I'm going to save it for when we come around to that situation while that game pops off. That is virtually it for the bowl game. We have some cancellations, like Arkansas, TCU. Ball State actually upset San Jose State, winning their game by 3 touchdowns, 34-13, being another one. Wisconsin up against Wake Forest, but I figured that would go down 42-28. And Texas, and it depends on how this goes down for Sam Ellinger. They cruised in beating Colorado 55-23. Oklahoma State beat Miami by 337-34. I was pissed off the way that Miami looked like to end the season. For them to have an 8-3 season, they closed out the season so horrible. I'm going to say this here and now. Like, Manny Diaz is not the coach for Miami. I'm sorry. I know he's in Miami, son. I know he's tied into the state of Florida. He is not the coach for Miami, especially for him to be a defensive guy. The last game against North Carolina, he gave up damn near 600 yards rushing, and then goes into this game up against Oklahoma State, a Big 12 school that always gives up scores. Like, they play defense in the Big 12, and as you see, he was able to get 34 points, and they were scoring these points late after the half. You figured it out late. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And mind you, you and Rhett Lashley putting De'Eric King in harm's way and trying to find out what's going on with his leg right now, because you're running your quarterback who has the ability to run. You're running him like a running back, and he's injured now. He's injured now. So what does his career look like? Because you're burning him to death. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Manny Diaz is not the coach of that team. I give him 3 years, 2 to 3 years tops. 2 to 3 years tops. He won't be a top 10. Well, no. He will be a top 10 coach. He won't have him in the top 4, especially by the season's end. And all of the athletes that do come to Miami and end up going to the league and doing their thing, he's not making them look good. So I give him a 2 to 3 year situation. The Raging Cajuns won their game up against University of Texas San Antonio, 31-24. And in their season at 10-1, Coastal Carolina, this one hurt, even though Liberty, they have their own Cinderella story too. They both ended the season with one loss. Liberty's 10-1, winning this game up against Coastal Carolina, 37-34. Coastal Carolina loses their final game of the season. They were 11-0 and had the story of the season and lose this game by 3 points in overtime. If you didn't see the game, you had to. Excellent stuff. And Buffalo and Marshall. Buffalo wins their game by 7 also. And that I'm going to round that out. I'm not going to start going into the other ones like Hawaii, Houston, or Memphis, Florida Atlantic. Yeah, I'm pretty much done with the bowl games. But interesting enough, like I said, the national championship will be coming around on the 11th. My popcorn is ready to be popped. I can't wait to pop that and watch how that game goes down because I don't know how it'll go down. It really, to me, is going to be based off of, you know, how Justin Fields feels. If he's eligible to get out there and, you know, Nick Saban ends up sending, like, a very interesting blitz package after him and you know, re-sparking that injury, that says another thing. But I think that will be the storyline until they get out there and play. Now, I do want to get into some of the NBA before I get into the picks and predictions for Week 17. I do want to get a moment of silence to a person that I respect and a part of my, you know, upbringing watching this sport all my life. Rest in peace to Paul Westphal, the former head coach of the Phoenix Suns when they made the finals up against Michael Jordan and company. And in that season, Charles Barkley was able to grasp the MVP that season. Westphal has a heck of a resume of playing with the Celtics, winning a championship in 1974 with them, playing with the Suns also. So many different and interesting things with Paul Westphal. And I was stunned when I seen the news last night that he had passed away, and the news broke, read, you know, all over the screen. And I was just like, this is somebody that I grew up watching, you know, and a coach I respect. So I'm going to give him his due before I get into a lot of the NBA and things of that nature. So shout out to Paul Westphal, moment of silence. Okay, so I'm going to keep going. I don't know how this goes down. I'm going to save that for last, right? So first and foremost, Greg Popovich had sat out a game, and this was the first time that a female coach actually head coached a game in the NBA, and she's, you know, an assistant under Pop with the San Antonio Spurs, in which I think that night they took on the Lakers. But that's historic for her to, you know, do that. And she actually has that Popovich mentality, too, so that makes it even more interesting, you know, if she is able to get a stint within the NBA or the WNBA, that she probably have that characteristic to carry on with her, and people might fall in love with it because Pop is lovable. Like Pop may act like I don't even know which word to use, but you know, he may act stuck up at times, but I think Pop taught this girl well, and a lot of people, especially the analysts and reporters that talk to him, he knows how to work him. He knows what to say to him. So with Becky Hammon going out there coaching for the Spurs, that's a volume speaker, if you will, within the NBA. So I'm trying to skip around this. I'm trying to wait for people, but I can't really wait for people to talk about it. And this is the James Harden situation, in which they were able to come off with a win last night up against the Kings at home, 102-94, undefeated at home, losing their two games on the road. The Kings lose this game, and they push their game they push their record to 500 also. But, the James Harden situation is getting out of control. He's nursing an ankle injury, and they were able to win. John Wall put up 28 points winning this game. Eric Gordon had 21 starting. Christian Wood is making a name for himself as of him leaving Detroit last year also. He was doing things in Detroit last year also. He had a 20-point day, 15 rebounds also. But this James Harden situation is so hard because knowing how much money they invested into this guy, know what they wanted their future to look like, and he's now demanding a trade to leave Houston. So I wonder how long he sits out nursing his ankle injury, things of that nature. But knowing that he is the face of the organization until they move him, which is imminent, if I were to rock his organization and to just get rid of the headache, I'm not sending him to a team that's going to help him get a championship. He could have did it right here. That's letting me know something. Like, no, I'm not putting you where you want to be. Let me get through the remainder of the scores of the of the night, if you will, in the NBA. The Pelicans win their game up against the Raptors, 120-116. Brandon Ingram goes off for 31. Van Vliet had a 27-point day also. The Cavaliers beat the Hawks in Atlanta, 96-91, in which the Hawks have had a good start to the season. 4-1 before this game, they're now 4-2. Trae Young off to an interesting start to the season. Clint Capella had a 16 rebound day for the Hawks in a losing effort. And Colin Sexton went off for 27 points to help the Cavaliers, and them having a shocking 4-2 start to the season as well. The 76ers win their matchup up against the Hornets, 127-112, starting out 5-1 for the season. Rozier goes off for 35 points, and Tobias Harris for the 76ers at 24-9. To round out that game for the 76ers. The Oklahoma City Thunder go into Orlando and shock the Magic, winning their game 108-99, in which returning the favor of when Orlando just a few days prior went into Oklahoma City and beat the Thunder at home as well. But there were a lot of players resting in that game, but at least the Thunder were back, able to get back on track. Yes, Fort City, I'm still watching my Thunder boys. I don't care what happened, how many people leave. I'm a diehard fan, so I'm going to watch what's going on. And last but not least, to round out the basketball games, at least for Saturday, was the Knicks going into Indiana and knocking off the Pacers, 106-102, in which R.J. Barrett goes off for 25. Malcolm Brogdon had a 33-point game with 7 assists at the point guard position now for the Indiana Pacers, but I didn't expect the Knicks to go in here to win this game. So shout out to the Knicks to win this this matchup. But again, I'm wondering how this turns out for James Harden. I really feel bad that it has gone this far, if you will, for you know, him being there since 2013 until now, 7 to 8 years, if you will. And as far as he's gotten, I think it was in a Western Conference Final. And he just ran out of energy and nothing left in the tank to give the team. And I feel bad that the Rockets have, you know, rode this wave as best as possible. And now he's ready to go because he knows it's going to be tough to go up against, you know, the likes of all of the powerhouses in the Western Conference and him, John Wall. And I really want to give Boogie Cousins. I don't want to discount Eric Gordon also. They do have good quality names on this roster. It's like, I don't know why Harden would want to run away, especially while this is ready-made for you. Like, you're going to go somewhere and be a piece instead of being that guy, and this is what he wanted. So now it's like, it's interesting to see that Harden wants to take a step back, and I don't know if this is something that he follows of Russell Westbrook's mantra also. So, and Russell's out here struggling too with no wins, or I think a win with the Washington Wizards, but they are on a losing streak, and Russ is showing his frustration, and this is kind of, you know, that karma, and this is what you asked for type of situation. And, yeah, I was a Russell Westbrook fan while he was with the Thunder, but now that he didn't want to play with the Thunder and went to Houston and got his career off and running, and he's ring chasing now because he's in the latter part of his career and it's not looking good, and you can't just use that total brute athleticism anymore. Now it's like, what are you going to do now? Like, are you going to take a back seat on your contract and take a cut and go somewhere and be a piece, or try to make it happen out there in D.C. with the Washington Wizards? So I don't know. I think this is a bad situation for Russ, to say the least, even though he was saying that he was happy to be back with Scott Brooks. It was different when Scott Brooks was in Oklahoma City compared to him being in the middle of D.C., that two different teams do two different tenures. Even though you know his system and what he likes to make happen, you're forcing your type of game back to it. So I don't know if Harden is following that mantra anyway. I'm getting lost in the two players, if you will. Okay, so I am going to get into the Week 17 situation. The last of the games for the 2020-2021 season, in which there's a lot of stuff going on, and I feel bad about one of these games. And I just got the word that Matthew Stafford will be playing today. Oh, boy. So, one for the New Orleans Saints before I get into the rundown. I feel so bad for the Saints, even though I'm not a Saints fan, right? But Alvin Kamara was able – Alvin Kamara had tested positive for the COVID, and the entire running back room had all had to, you know, be quarantined because they were around him. So now it puts them in an interesting situation on where they go without a running back. So they're basically going to be pass heavy like crazy approaching the postseason as well. And they need to win this game just to hang on as best as possible with no hiccups. But this is another hiccup again, entering another year. Like when they go, you know, the turnover of the year into the season, into the postseason, the Saints always have some issue and end up losing the game. And it's like, what happens now? Is it a pass interference call? Is it this? Is it that? And now it's something that none of us could stop. None of us can do anything about this COVID situation. I'm just hoping that we heal the best we can together. But for the whole running back stable to be in a situation like this, and knowing that Kamara didn't want to do that, and knowing that the running backs didn't want to be in a situation where they're around somebody that's exposing them to the situation, it's just tough, to say the least. Okay, so let me get into these games, because a lot of these games are meaningful, and I do want to see how this does work out, at least for some of these teams. Now, the Miami Dolphins go into Buffalo in a game where the Dolphins need to win to stay alive to get into the postseason, right? The Bills can rest because I don't think they can move. I don't think they can move into the number one spot. But I want to see how, you know, Sean McDermott handles this situation. And if Tua, I don't know who it's going to be, especially the way that this is going down with Fitzpatrick going into Oakland and making that hell of a pass. I don't know. But Miami could potentially go to the postseason, in which the Dolphins are 10-5 on the season. The Bills are 12-3. The Dolphins need this. The Dolphins are favored by one on the road. Wow. I can't even really pull the ifs because I'm by myself. I'm going to go with the Dolphins because I think the Bills will rest people. I think the Bills will pull Josh Allen and all of the big notables off the field and keep these guys safe for postseason play, because they can definitely make a potential run to the AFC Championship, and some people say a potential Super Bowl team. And that would be interesting to see if the Bills can get to the Super Bowl. But I'm going to say the Dolphins win this one because I think the Bills will pull their guys at least halftime or third quarter. Unless it's a game and they have to or something like that, I think the Bills will pull their players. So I'm going to Dolphins in this matchup. I wonder which quarterback is able to finish, whether it's Tua or if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think Tua will probably man the ship. We'll see how that goes. So I'm watching this game closely. The next matchup, no-brainer to me. Ravens going into Cincinnati up against the Bengals. The Ravens have to win to try to stay alive to get into the postseason. I think the Ravens do win this game. Something about this game, it's a 13.5 spread in favor of the Ravens. I don't know if they blow them out like that, but I feel like this game is going to be closer than what they're predicting. The over-under set at 45. That's the questionable part that has me, you know, tipping the scale. And interesting enough, listen to this. 92 yards rushing for Lamar Jackson today will give him back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. I don't think he'll get 92 yards rushing. The potential is there. But to see a quarterback do back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, this guy is phenomenal. I know they pick on him. I know. They say he can't throw the ball. I think he can throw the ball. He just doesn't have the targets. Like, Dez Bryant just became another target for him. But I think, of course, this is a must-win for the Ravens. There's not too much the Bengals can do right now, especially with backups and Finley running the show. I'm going Ravens by far on this one. And I make it interesting to cover the spread. I think they will. I think they do cover the 13.5. But I think they cover the 13.5, but I will not be surprised if the Bengals keep this thing close. If the Bengals keep this game close, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like Vegas is up to something right here. It's something. Why would it be a 13.5 spread and, you know, the Bengals are within this game with nobody and it's over under 45? Something's funny here. The next matchup is the Steelers-Browns. Very interesting AFC North. And both of these last two games are AFC North matchups in which the Steelers will be resting people because they are in a situation at the top of the conference. The Browns need to win this game. Now, there's a very interesting situation, and I don't like to plug channels or networks or, you know, significant people, but I have to on this one. And I have to agree with the individual also. He's off of Undisputed. His name is Shannon Sharpe, Hall of Fame tight end. He said, if Baker Mayfield cannot beat a benless Steelers, and mind you, by the way, there are injuries on the Steelers' defensive side of the ball, too, not even just them resting, but there's injuries there. If Baker isn't able to do this, there's questions that still remain around him, and it's regardless of this 10-5 season that they had and the potential of them missing the playoffs if he does lose this game. But the questions will come from me, too. It's like, well, what's tomorrow? Like, yeah, they won their games, but they had a weaker strength of schedule because of the season that they had last year. So, I don't know. Baker has to pull this one off. I'm going to pull for the Browns. The Browns are favored by 10 points. But if the Steelers are able to play that smash-mouth defense, and this game is in Cleveland. This game is in Cleveland. If Baker has to win this game. The spread is 10. I'm going to say Cleveland wins this game. If he can't, the question, man, tomorrow they will be coming for his head. I'm sorry, Baker. I'm sorry, but I'm looking at you funny too. The next matchup I have are the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Detroit Lions, in which this is a very interesting matchup for me because it's a family affair right now. This is a very family affair. My mother's a Vikings fan, and I'm the Lions fan, and I just was with her over the holiday, and knowing she loved her some Vikings. And this is funny because just like I said at the top of the NFL games, Matthew Stafford is starting despite injuries. The Vikings are favored by 3.5. The over-under is at 53.5. I'm going to say the Vikings win this game because I have not liked what I've seen on the defensive side of the ball for the Detroit Lions. And I don't think they have a corner that could cover Justin Jefferson. This guy is out of control. And with Stafford trying to come back on the field after a kick to the ankle, and now he's coming out there to play, like, please. I'm done. Like, and my cousin told me to be careful what I ask for because it's karma, you know. And I've been asking for Stafford to go a while, like for a long time. Like, I'm done with him, you know. Like, yeah, he had people marvel at his arm talent, his arm this, his arm that. His football IQ is so questionable. He hangs on the ball far too long. He takes sacks that he shouldn't. It could be a 3rd and 4. He'll take a sack. Like just dump it to somebody. And you'll pass the ball more than you'll run the ball. And they had a stable of running backs. Got rid of Bo Scarborough. While Bo Scarborough could have been a healthy power back outside of Adrian Peterson, they put all their eggs in a basket on Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson wants to come back next year. It's like, well, this is just out of hand. This is just out of hand, what's going on in Detroit. So, within my heart, I'm pulling for the Lions to win this game for sure. Like my blood is on this Honolulu Blue, but I'm rolling with my mother on this one. I think the Vikings finished their season 7-9, close to a 500 season, 5-11 for the Lions. I think they're trying to play for a doggone pick again while everybody in the state of Michigan and follows the Lions. They look to a draft. No, I'm not looking toward a draft. Unreal. It's unreal. The next matchup I have, I do have somebody in queue. Okay, so calling out of the 518, I have Mr. Controversy. Mr. Greenwood, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Ty. How you doing?
I'm all right. I was just going through the scoreboard and wasn't looking at the switchboard, so I apologize. I don't know how long you might have been sitting there, but I apologize.
No worries, my friend. No worries.
Okay, so I guess I'll start from the top with you. So, Dolphins or your Buffalo Bills? I don't even know who you're a fan of, but I think you might go Buffalo Bills now.
It's okay. I don't know who I'm a fan of yet either. I don't even know if I want to be a fan of any one team anymore. I have to look at that. I mean, I love football still, but I'm starting to think that why am I following one jersey when the reason why I'm on that team or with that team is because I like that player or that player or that player. But we'll get into that later. I'm going to take the Bills in this one. They have something to play for still. So does Miami. It's actually a really big game for both sides. But I'm going to take Buffalo in the win for this one.
You don't think they will pull somebody? What are the Bills? Well, they're playing to try to get the 1 seed, right, with the Steelers, correct?
Right, yeah. I think that the 1 seed is currently locked by the Kansas City Chiefs. But the 2 seed, I think, is up for play with the Steelers.
Gotcha. I see the records now. Now I'm looking at all the records within the AFC. So I'm still going to stick with the Dolphins, though. I'm going to stick with the Dolphins. Okay, so the next matchup I have is the Ravens or Bengals? Who do you like, then?
I'm going to take the Ravens. The Bengals have nothing to play for. The Ravens are still fighting for a playoff spot and still might not even make it. So I'm taking the Ravens.
Okay, I'll make it even funner. 13.5, do they cover in Cincinnati?
I think they cover. Actually, no, I don't. I really don't. 13.5, and there's still no Joe Burrow, so no. I'll take the Ravens minus the points.
The Ravens, you said the Ravens will cover the 13.5.
They'll cover, yeah.
Okay, I got another interesting question within this game. Will Lamar Jackson break 1,000 yards on the season rushing? He needs 92 yards to do it.
I don't – unless they push for it, I'm going to say no. I think he falls just short.
Because that would be NFL history,
92 is a big game on the ground.
Yeah, but it's Cincinnati's defense. This is Cincinnati's defense. This is the same defense, scene of the crime last year, same defense, where he did the spin move of the year, and they all hit each other, and he scored like a 60-yard touchdown. Do you remember that spin move?
I do remember that. That was –
That's them. This is them.
No, I'm going to still stick with the under on 92 yards, yeah. I'll go with the under on 92.
Well, reason why I say that, because it would be historic. Because I can't think of a quarterback that had back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. I can't. So
Did Mike Vick ever do it? I don't know.
No, Mike Vick.
Did Mike Vick ever do it?
Yeah, I think Mike Vick had a 1,000-yard season, but never back-to-back 1,000-yard season. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Lamar did it in his MVP season last year, and it's this, and he needs to get this. So it's like, shoot, especially if it gets his defense, and it's clear skies, no rain. Jeez Louise. Okay, let me keep going. Okay, so the next matchup I have is Steelers-Browns, right? I'm going to slice this one up for you. In which Shannon Sharpe came out with a statement and said, if Baker can't knock off a endless Steelers team, the questions will still flutter around him. I agree. But your thoughts on this game, Steelers-Browns in Cleveland, and the Steelers will be resting people, and it, also they're dealing with injuries, too, within the Pittsburgh Steelers organization.
Yeah, I'm going with the – It seems like the most Browns thing to do to mess this up. It just feels like something the Browns are gonna do. But I'm gonna take the Browns. They're most likely to win the game. People should be still questioning Baker anyway. I don't believe Baker Mayfield a top 20 NFL quarterback right now. Which I think, before you think about it, it sounds like a very bizarre statement. But when we're in a world where Matthew Stafford might not even be a top 15 NFL quarterback right now, it's kind of par for the course. And let's just be real, Baker.
You can't do that. You can't do that. Now Baker's in his third season, right? And Stafford's in his 12th.
It's all comparative. Like I'm just talking about like complete ranking right now. If Matthew Stafford is a significantly better quarterback for even if we were going to go for the next five seasons, Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. And if we're talking about the 12th to 15th best quarterback in the league right now as being really not even a doubtful pick over you for the next 5 years, then what are you worth right now? So I still think that if the opportunity presents itself, the Browns should think about moving away from Baker or at least put something in place to scare him a little bit. And they've got the cap space to do it, too. That's kind of the interesting thing about the Browns is that they've kind of built their entire thing around garnering draft picks. So they could go out there and find a Dak Prescott if he becomes available in free agency, or Matthew Stafford via trade. They could realistically afford that on top of everything else.
So quickly, because we have a, no, not even quickly. Let me shut up. Not quickly. We have a lot of time. So you're saying he's a top 20 quarterback. Then name the 19 quarterbacks in front of Baker.
Okay, so 19 quarterbacks in front of Baker. Let's go with the obvious Patrick Mahomes first. I would, after Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, even though he's taking a step back, I think he's still easily better. I think Phillip Rivers is better. I think that Matthew Stafford is definitely better. I think Russell Wilson is definitely better. I mean, let's just go through the divisions. In the AFC East, he's got Josh Allen, who's better than him. He's got Ryan Fitzpatrick that's better than him. I'm not ready to put Tua in that conversation quite yet. So, and then Sam Darnold, I don't think is better than Baker, especially at this point. In his own division, he's probably the worst quarterback in this division. Joe Burrow is better than him. Lamar Jackson is better than him. Ben Roethlisberger is better than him. In the South, you've got Phillip Rivers, who is better than him. Deshaun Watson, that's better than him. I would be willing to make an argument that Jacoby Brissett might even be better than him.
Come on.
Garner Minshew might be better than him.
This is painful.
In the West, We've got Patrick Mahomes, obviously better than him. Derek Carr is probably better than him. Let's see. Who else is in that? Justin Herbert is definitely better than him, even as a rookie. Who's the last team in that division? I'm blanking right now. The Raiders,
the Broncos.
Okay, no. Drew Lock. Nope. We'll keep it right where it's at with that division. In the North, Stafford's better than him. Kirk Cousins is definitely better than him. Aaron Rodgers is better than him.
Hold on. Kirk Cousins is really better than Baker Mayfield, honestly.
Definitely. I don't even think it's close. I really don't.
Proceed.
In the East, I'm not going to put Daniel Jones up there yet. I think they're kind of on the same level. Alex Smith, maybe I need to see a little more from him post injury to make that assessment, but he could be. Then there's Kirk Cousins, who I think is probably better. Jalen Hurts, it's too early to tell, but he can be. And then Dak Prescott is definitely better than him. I don't know if he's worth the money that he's going to get, but he's definitely better than him. Every quarterback in the NFC South is better than Baker Mayfield. Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, and Tom Brady, all of them are better. And then you've got the West. I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo better than Baker Mayfield, to be honest. But I definitely like Jared Goff might be on the level.
Wait, hold on. There's a flaw right now, and I'm tired of it now because I said I get what I asked for, but you're bugging. You mean to tell me
hold on.
You said Kirk Cousins is better than Baker, but you said Jimmy Garoppolo isn't? And Jimmy Garoppolo just went to a Super Bowl? What?
No. I mean, personally, I would not take Jimmy Garoppolo over Baker Mayfield or Kirk Cousins.
So Kirk Cousins is better than Garoppolo. All right. Okay, finish so I can get out of this. And get back to this book. I really get what I asked for,
right.
Trying to see you put up 20 quarterbacks.
Right.
You try to put up 20 quarterbacks in the league better than Baker, which I agree with some.
Which I've already done. I mean, I've already done that, and I haven't even – I'm pretty close to the end. Kyler Murray is definitely better than Baker. I don't think that's close. And then Jared Goff, I think, is on the level. I think he's probably better a little bit, but he has definitely fallen off in the past couple of years after he got his money.
Wow. I apologize that this happened right now. I get what I asked for.
I named like four or five quarterbacks
in the league that were worse than.
So I've still got room. So you wanna take an umbrage with Kirk Cousins? Okay. Who else is your big?
Listen, Baker's in a situation now. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not a big Baker Mayfield fan just because of his cockiness. But now that I got to learn him a little more, like I learned to accept his cockiness, right? He is right
mm-hmm.
now in the top 14 or potentially top 14 quarterback in the league right now because he's getting ready to push to get to the playoffs, especially if they win this game up against the Steelers, which is a game that they can win because the Steelers have to rest people. Like, you're just naming names. Even playing that aren't playing. You even said Gardner Minshew is better than him. Gardner Minshew is looking at a 1-15 season. A 1-15 season.
Well, Gardner Minshew didn't play the entire season. Gardner Minshew didn't even play like half
the
season.
Okay. So that's the same thing that you're doing for Joe Burrow, too. Like, Joe Burrow hasn't even proven himself for you to give him the leg up over me, which I think Joe Burrow potentially can be a better quarterback than Baker, but Baker's doing it right now without Odell. Like I'm sorry, that's a debate. Okay, let me get back to these. Okay, we do have a caller in queue just to see. And oh boy, calling out the 412, the 703, the 571, the 1234567891010 is Aaron Simmons. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling?
You know, man, it's good to be back in the building. First one of the new year. And I come in fresh after church. I got the wife and the son here. And I hear this gibberish about Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield. And I about had to go back in and get the pastor to pray for me with the anointing oil before I cuss so quick into the new year on the radio show. What in the Sam is going on this afternoon? What?
He was terrorizing Baker, I said we have time, so I was like, give me 20 quarterbacks. He went through every division, basically named every quarterback, and then just said Garoppolo isn't one of them. I'm like, okay, so Garoppolo basically could have won a championship if Shanahan would have started calling running plays. like that would have been it. Like, this whole other place, Super Bowl.
His issue with Garoppolo, if we're comparing apples to apples, where Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield are the only two quarterbacks in the mention, I'm going Baker Mayfield. If we're comparing apples to apples. Okay?
Which is what I said,
Garoppolo.
Too. To be clear.
I'm not a fan of Jimmy Garoppolo. I never have been. If we're comparing apples to apples, Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback right now than Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff, and, you know, I'm not a fan of Jared Goff, neither. Kirk Cousins is questionable, but that's neither here nor there, man. We can keep it pushing. I can stay here on this topic if you guys want, but we can keep it pushing if you want.
You basically agree with everything I said. Or at least you gave me plausible deniability on all of them. You're like, okay, I could see where you could put Jared Goff. I could see where you could put Kirk Cousins. And
I debate that. Hell no. You lucky that we only got 30 minutes left.
We can be listening to the rest of the show because here's the deal with Jared Goff. If you look at the statistics, Jared Goff right now, in my opinion, is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Don't come at me with this, or he went to a Super Bowl and this, that, and the third. He got to the Super Bowl on the strength of Sean McVay, his innovative play calling, and he had a couple of good games, but the reason why they didn't win that Super Bowl was because of Jimmy, was because of Jared Goff. The reason why they are on the cusp of missing the playoffs right now is because of Jared Goff. This dude cannot throw accurately. He has turned into, like, the quintessential version of a Dwayne Haskins on the football field. He can't read coverages. He can't throw accurately. He's throwing the ball to the other team. And it's because of that defense that they're even in playoff picture currently. Don't get me started on Jared Goff right now. Please don't do that. But I digress.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. He over there telling a whole bunch of B crap that Malik got mad. So I'm trying to tell you, listen. First off, let me go back to the Kirk Cousins situation. You mean to tell me Kirk Cousins is better than Baker, right? When Kirk Cousins has been in his league since, what, 2010, right?
I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cousins been in his league since 2010 and just won his first Monday Night Football game this year. When the lights are on, he don't show up. And he's had tons of talent around him. Tons. And it's like finally, like, it's panned out with him with the Vikings, and they're 6-9 right now. And he has talent around him. Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the game. Justin Jefferson breaking rookie records, broke Randy Moss' record in Minnesota right now. Like, he has talent around him in Minnesota, and they're 6-9? Are you kidding?
So when it comes to comparing Baker Mayfield to Kirk Cousins, I'm giving the nod to Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
I'm giving the nod.
Okay.
To Baker
thank
Mayfield.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for helping me there. I need that. I need that. I see that. That helped me. Okay. Look. We're gonna save this for the cookout. Y'all better bring yourselves back here Wednesday night because we got some scores to go over. So I'm not having this. I'm not your pineapples. This is gonna be. I gotta tell Barry that this
right,
is
yeah,
something.
I'm probably coming back to this,
I will choose to put this on the grill Wednesday evening. Please come back here. Okay, so Aaron, I'm gonna get you caught up. Dolphins or Bills?
Bills.
They both went Bills. I'm the only one that went Miami. Okay, Ravens, Bengals.
Oh, come on now. Ravens went that mile last line. That's not really close.
Okay, so they're covering 13.5.
That's going to be ugly. Give me the Ravens in the over.
That's what I said. I feel the same thing, too. The over-under is at 45 with a spread of 13.5. It's something from Vegas up there. That's tripwire. That is a tripwire.
Yeah,
somebody will trip.
Vegas is up to something there.
All right. Oh, okay, I got another question for that game. Do you think Lamar Jackson will break another 1,000-yard season? He needs 92 yards rushing.
He'll do that within the first half.
I'm telling you. I feel it, too. Okay, you guys versus the Browns.
Honestly, here's the funny thing. The Browns again. I think the Browns get a win there. We are sitting significant amount of pieces. We got 3 on the COVID list. Joe Hayden, Eric Ebron, and I think tight end. Another tight end's on the COVID list. Ben's not playing. We're either going to be a 3 seed or a 2 seed. We ain't got really nothing to play for. So, yeah, I think the Browns guys ain't getting it done. Even in the midst of the COVID situation that they're dealing with in their own building
Okay, and to get everybody up to see Vikings and Lions.
Vikings and Lions, I think the Vikings stay faced.
And James, did you get this? You went into the game, Vikings or Lions?
I'm picking the Vikings as well. The Lions don't even want to win this game.
Right. That's exactly what I said. And I said the Lions are looking forward to a damn draft pick again. Here we go again. Draft, draft. And if people get hyped off the draft, it's like all they did was pick up a player. Like, what are you hype about the draft? Unless I heard Randy Moss fall out the draft.
Question for you. What has Okuda done this year? I'm just curious.
What is who?
Not much. Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda.
Okuda. Oh, please don't get me started. I'm trying to remain humble. I told myself New Year's Eve that I have to keep. I have to, like, you go to church and pray for us, you know. So like I feel the waves, you know what I'm saying. So it's like I need to stay within myself because I will start going rampant on Okuda and Matt Patricia and Quinn thinking that this was the move. This, not only has he not been on the field, you went after a corner that runs a 4-5. He's slow, right? In the NFC North, where every team passes, everybody's a passing team in the NFC North. He's gonna have to do something. He's gonna have to do something. Like there's no way that you can sit up there and scheme and think that he's gonna be all right. Like yeah, he got a pick or two here, but he's not even on the field like that. Like don't.
He went to
all right,
Ohio
let me
State.
Get
you know how they, you know how people feel about Ohio State. He went to Ohio State, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
I know. And look, it's even worse now. Even though I love the guy that I'm about to say, but Chris Spielman is now one of the big names of Detroit, and he's an Ohio State guy, so you already know he's going to start picking out the litter out of there and making sure that they talk, him and Day, go back and forth so they could, you know, get people in
y'all
the,
about,
the
y'all about
you
to,
know.
You're about to trade up to go get Justin Fields. Watch, I'm about to trade up to get Justin Fields.
We don't need to trade up. Listen, he's going to end up going second anyway. I think the Jets have to get him. They have. There's no way. There's no way. So with that being said, I'd rather go. Look,
I'm not
I'd
sure
rather,
about that. I'm not sure.
I don't care.
Sure
he can go.
That.
I'd rather if it were me, I'd rather go with Zach Wilson since they're so enamored with Stafford's arm.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson has that type of arm,
yeah.
And Zach Wilson can scramble. So I like that. And he's 80. Listen, if y'all have not seen Zach Wilson play, his completion percentage
yeah,
on the year. To get there. Hold on. I'm cooking. I got you. His completion percentage on the year is 81%. That boy don't miss too much. He don't miss too much. Hey, if y'all want to see a big artist, just go to YouTube, click Zach Wilson, and watch his highlights and enjoy. Enjoy. Only thing that bothers me is that he's not that tall. He's about Stafford height, like 6'1", 6'2". But, I mean, Stafford's 6'2". So, like, he got to grow into something. He got to take his lumps and then get – you know, acclimated to the NFL. So, if Fields is gone, Trevor Lawrence is gone, that's fine. I take Zach Wilson in a heartbeat. So I'm hoping he falls right into Michigan. Sorry. Okay, so the next matchup we have, so we're all up to speed. This is a very interesting game. I can't believe that I'm saying it like that. The New York Jets go into Foxborough up against the Patriots. The Patriots are favored by 3 points. This game is interesting. Who do you guys like and why? Do the Jets lose this last game of the season while Gase is told to beat that they're going to part ways at the end of this game? Or does Gase get a win in New England to make things get even crazier? I'll start with you first, James.
So I mean, unless somebody does some chicanery, like, we're going to lose on purpose kind of deal, I think that the Patriots probably win. We have to assume that Cam Newton is going to be playing for his next job because I don't think he's going to get re-upped in New England. So I think the Patriots win, probably. The Jets are locked in at number two, though, so it's not like a win or a loss changes much for them. So they might try to surprise people here a little bit, but I'm going to go with New England. Pride will not allow him to lose to the Jets.
And plus the way that Belichick looked that last game when the call didn't go his way and he threw the phone at the receiver, I'm like, man, like, it's going down in Foxborough. I ain't never seen Belichick get that mad. I seen him yell mad, but he threw the phone and stuff. I was like, yo, it's bad in Foxborough right now. Aaron, who do you like in this game, Jets or Patriots?
You know what? Here's the funny thing about this whole song and dance. I'm picking the Jets. I'm going to pick the Jets. And the thing is, it's not even a stretch. I have never seen in the past, 16-plus years of me watching the New England Patriots, seeing a team this disheveled, this out of sorts, Cam Newton couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and y'all know how I feel about Cameron Newton on this network. He has nobody to throw the ball to, and it's bad. It's really, really bad. And the Jets just don't give a flying crap. They just, you know, the heck with the number one pick. I'm going to go ahead and win there, and then I'm going to go ahead and win again.
Right.
Even with the writing on the wall that, you know, Gaze is going to be gone as of 5:01 this afternoon, you know what I'm saying? Soon that game's over, he's going to pass himself, bro. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go out there and win and kind of stick the team wingling and put a staple on both of their horrible seasons. And leave some questions to be answered for the Patriots going into 2021's NFL campaign. I'm sure we'll get into all the questions and the who's going to go where and this, that, and the third later on in the winter and in the spring. But the Patriots have some significant questions to answer, and I think the Jets beating them is going to really ignite those questions and really give Bill Belichick some cause to pause. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Okay. And I agree with Sears 100%. Yo, listen, how in the hell you sat there all season long, lost every game possible, and now you want to try to win out? Like, you're messing up the organization by winning right now. You already lost everything. I don't get it. But for this game, I'm going to go Patriots just because the Jets just are a mess. But I would not be shocked if the Jets pull this off and then tell Gase bye-bye at the end of the season, because you really messed us up for draft picking too. Okay, the next matchup my popcorn is ready for, Cowboys and Giants. Just to be a pisser, people, the Giants win this game. I'm going with the New York Giants and pull this off against the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys got hot in the month of December. Like, how do y'all figure it out now? Like, how did y'all figure it out now? Like, I don't get it, but I think the Giants pull it off. But to be honest, I really feel like the Cowboys turn this thing around and feel somewhat charged up. But I think the Giants do upset the world. But I'm doing the underdog thing, even though Dallas is favored by a point. But that's basically a pick 'em. Sears, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this one, Cowboys or Giants?
You know what? Here's the fun thing about this whole song and dance. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this ball game. Here's the thing. The New York Football Giants do not have any offense. Their defense is legit, but the Cowboys are streaking right now. They're playing decent ball. Andy Dalton is striking with Gallup and his receivers. And don't look now, but I also think the Cowboys luck up and win this division too. Just for my pick for later on this afternoon. Just an FYI.
Uh-oh. Jessica, don't hit him. Don't hit him, Jeff. Do not hit him. Okay. James, how about you? How do you feel about this matchup, the Cowboys or Giants?
I'm gonna take the Cowboys over the Giants in this one. Right now they're playing like a better team. The Giants had a nice little boost like almost a month back, but I haven't been able to sustain it. So the Cowboys seem like the better team right now. I'm going to the Cowboys.
Okay, the next matchup I have, and this is I'll throw it around. No, I won't. Is there anybody that feel the Falcons can go into Tampa Bay and knock off the Buccaneers?
They're sitting everybody,
I
right?
I can. No, I mean, they still have a little bit to play for. The Falcons almost beat the Chiefs last week, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers seem to be a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of team. I'm not, you know, bold enough to pick Atlanta, but it wouldn't shock me if they gave them a hell of a game.
Okay, so is there anybody want to pick the Falcons, or are they just talking about the possibility?
The possibility is real, but I'm not picking them.
Okay. There we go. So that's what I meant. All right. So the next matchup we have, the next matchup is the Green Bay Packers up against the Chicago Bears. Who do you guys like in this matchup, the Packers and Soldier or the Bears at home to try and get a playoff spot? James, I'll come to you.
Oh, I'll take the Packers anyway, even though I think the Packers would much rather play against the Bears than any other team out there right now in the playoffs, but no, I'm going to still take the Packers. I'll limit them early.
Sears, how about you, Pack or the Bears? Did we lose them? We might have lost them. Okay. I am going to go with the – oh, my gosh, the Packers as well. I'm going with the Packers as well. I feel like the Bears will make this a game because it's a rivalry, and this is one of the biggest rivalries in football, people don't know. But I feel like Aaron Rodgers will just try to make this a 13-3 season again like last year and start over in the postseason. In 40, he has an incredible season going on right now. I'm going with the Packers. Raiders, Broncos, James, are your Raiders or the Broncos? Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Raiders should win this game. They're just a better team than the Broncos, and the Broncos don't currently have a good quarterback. So, yeah, we'll go with the Raiders.
It's tough because you don't know what Broncos team is going to show up. If Drew Lock start playing ball and their receivers start playing good, and I'm not going to lie, I am a Phillip Lindsay fan and Melvin Gordon also, but something about the Raiders, I feel like they'll pull this one off and still fall short. I'm going to go Raiders, but I would not be upset if the Broncos did pull this off. I think the Broncos can do it. Will the Raiders go – not the Raiders. Will the Broncos go after another quarterback in the draft? I think they will. That is the question, though. The next matchup, does anybody feel like the Jaguars can beat the Colts in Indy while the Colts need to win this to remain relevant for playoff winning?
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little.
Even though the Jags have wrapped it up, so they have – I mean, they can play to win now. So they don't lose anything if they mess around and end up winning this football game. Don't think
so
they will.
I can take this down now if you want. Do what you please.
No.
I'm just making sure because Minshew Magic up against Phillip Rivers and Jacoby Brissett. This is what you said. This is what you told me. Now
is Minshew actually playing in this game? Is he starting or is it Mike Glennon again?
It could be Glennon. I'd have to look at the injury report. I think Minshew may be back. I'm going to have to look at it. Okay. The next matchup we have are the Chargers against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. And it's looking like they're resting everybody because the spread is in favor of the Chargers by 5.5.
Yeah, they're definitely resting everybody. So I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, I feel like the Chargers will get this too. I'm agreeing with you. Even though I wouldn't be hard pressed if Andy Reid was like, you know what, just go out there and run some plays and they scored 5 touchdowns. Like I feel like that could just happen. The next matchup, this is very interesting. I'm going to go with the Cards up against the Rams. This is in LA. Crazy part is because Goff is out. They're coming in with a backup. Kyler Murray is playing. So, and knowing that there's potential for them to potentially get into the postseason too, I'm going to go with the Cards. Who do you like in this matchup, Cardinals or Rams?
I actually like the Cardinals too, but, I'll go with the Cardinals too. I don't think Jared Goff was ever like the big thing to keeping the Rams' hopes alive anyway, but If Jared Goff is still the starter, then his backup's got to be worse fundamentally. So I'll take the Cards.
Brutal on Goff. You guys are brutal on Goff. They are not playing with him. Like, what happened? This dude went to a Super Bowl.
I mean, he's better than Baker Mayfield, but not by much. So it's kind of my thoughts on him.
They're not by Baker. Oh, my goodness. Sports City, I apologize. Okay, the next matchup is Seahawks and the 49ers. The Seahawks are favored by 7 up against the Niners, and this is taking place in Arizona. They're not in California due to all of the COVID stuff that's going on in the world today. I am going to say the Seahawks win this one, but I don't know if they cover the 7. I feel like this game will be a tough one.
I agree
who do you
with
like
that
to...
completely. I like that too. I like the Seahawks to win. But I don't.
Okay, the next matchup I have is the Saints and the Panthers. And like I said, the entire running back committee, I guess the first, second, third, probably fourth string running backs and fullbacks probably are not available due to the COVID situation of them being exposed to Kamara. And the Saints are still favored by 6 in Carolina. Man, this is a real tough one to know that. I think the Saints edge this one, but they don't cover the 6 points. I think the Panthers will cover with the points, though.
Is Breeze still starting at quarterback? Or is it Taysom Hill?
Unless they do put him in, that wouldn't make sense if they took him out. But I think Breeze is starting, but I don't think Breeze will play long.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Panthers in an upset. I know Teddy has been playing particularly good football lately, but I still have faith in him as a quarterback. I know CMC isn't playing, but Mike Davis has his moments. The defense is absolutely pants, but if Drew doesn't play it up, or if the running back situation is that bad, they have potential. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers to win.
All right, Aaron, you gave me the Packers and the Bears, right?
Nah, I'm going with the Packers there.
Okay, Raiders Broncos.
I think the Raiders win that.
Swept that. Jaguars or the Colts?
Colts need this win. I think the Colts win by a lot.
And the spread is 14.5, too. Chargers, Chiefs, and the Chargers are favored by 5.5 in Arrowhead.
I'm still going to, the Chiefs is not playing anybody. Give me the Chargers there. The Chiefs aren't playing anybody.
Swept that also. Cardinals or Rams, and Goff is out, but Kyler is playing.
You know what? That defense is the truth. I think they find a way to squeak out a win because, honestly, they need to win and solidify themselves because they're going to play the weight game. And my son is good with me.
Yeah, listen, he's screaming at you. I'm trying to tell you, that's my boy Malik. I can't wait to buy him some Lions gear. Oh, my goodness. Okay, where are we right now? Okay.
Why would you do that to the poor child? The poor child.
What do you mean?
Come on.
He'll look good in blue. Believe me. Listen, thugs look good in blue. Believe me. He a thug. Look, Seahawks and 49ers.
What's the line on this one?
Seattle's favored by 7, and this is in Arizona because they can't play no sports in the Bay.
You know what? Give me Seattle, San Fran covers.
Yeah, I feel that. We both said that too. Saints or Panthers? I think you caught up now. Saints or Panthers?
I think the Saints find a way to win, because they still are in position to try to compete for that number one seed. I understand the COVID situation and everything. If any team in the NFC needs a first round bye, it's the Saints. You know what I'm saying? Because in the event that this game is played, the playoff game is played next Saturday, all these running backs run the risk of not being available. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Saints find a way to get a win and hope the Bears pull off an upset at home. So give me the Saints, but it's going to be an ugly one.
There's no, like, the whole running back committee will be out. They probably coming in with running backs on the practice squad. So, because they've been exposed to Kamara. Because Kamara. Because Kamara's situation.
Taysom Hill,
okay,
the DBFF play.
Oh, he's a monster.
Don't play DFS. Yeah, he's TV.
Okay, so now that we're all caught up to speed, the Titans and Texans, does anybody believe the Texans will knock off the Titans? While the Titans need this game to get into the postseason, the Titans are favored by 7 in Houston.
You know what? It would be just like the Houston Texans to find a way to literally knock the Tennessee Titans out of the playoff contention, or to make it very difficult to get in. I think there's math. I mean, if Miami loses and Tennessee wins, or, we all got Houston. Y'all got the Colts winning. So I think the math doesn't necessarily eliminate them, but it makes it definitely difficult. Give me Houston. Give me Houston. Just to kick the difference.
James, how about you? Titans or Texans?
I'm also going to go Titans. I'd be really surprised if the Titans dropped it. Right now, I'm just quickly Googling who's going to end up starting for running back at the Saints. Looks like they're going to take Ty Montgomery is going to be starting this week for the Saints at running back.
Wow. And he's supposed to be a receiver. They really made him a running back receiver everywhere that he's gone in the NFL. That's so crazy. Me, myself, as much as I love Deshaun Watson, as much as I'm in love with J.J. Watt, I can't even lie. Like, who does not like J.J. Watt? But I am a huge fan of Derrick Henry. This dude is not playing with people. I'm going with King Henry, and I think he gets a good stiff arm or two out there. I think he gets at least two of them out there. Can he get 200? Can he get 223 yards on the day? That is the question to get, for him to get 2,000 yards. I don't think he gets it, but I would love to see him do it. But against the Texans, I think it's possible. Last but not least, the Washington Redskins, the Washington football team up against Jessica Simmons' squad. Yes, Jessica Simmons' squad is on the line at home in the link for Sunday night football. She has to wait all day. James, who do you like in this matchup?
I'm going to take the football team. I am low-key rooting for the football team to win just to see that banner in the stadium. NFC East champs, football team. It's going to be glorious.
Wow.
But no, in reality, I'm going to take the Redskins mostly because they're a better team than the Eagles. The Eagles have nothing to play for, and it would actually be advantageous for them if a couple of these low-ball teams ended up winning a game and they lost one because they're tied for wins but have that tie to contend with. So I pick the football team.
Okay, I don't know if you're driving serious, but who are you going with, Washington or Philly?
Here's the funny thing about this whole song and dance, right? I said earlier that I believe the Dallas Cowboys backdoored their way into the playoffs by representing the NFC East. In order for them to do that, the Washington football team actually has to lose today to the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if you guys have been under a rock, but Jalen Hurts is that dude right now. Like, this man is the truth. And there's inclement weather all throughout the East Coast right now, which does not bode well for Alex Smith and his mobility or lack thereof. Terrence Curran is a question mark. And like I said, it will be the final kick in the nads of 2020 to have the Dallas Cowboys back their way into a playoff by having the Philadelphia Eagles help them. Oh, my flipping God. Jimmy's still need to win tonight. To literally stick it to the Washington football team. I don't expect it to be pretty. I don't expect it to be a lot of points. But I think, this is the final bit of do for Carson Wentz and that organization with Jalen Hurts, finding a way to end on a positive note and get like the New England Patriots send an organization into a bunch of questions this offseason. So give me Philly this evening to shut the door on the 2020 NFL season.
Well, Philly, that boy ain't dumb. That boy ain't dumb. Because you know the slogan, happy wife, happy life. And he's sitting right next to her.
Sitting here doing, sitting next to me doing all kinds of gyrations, man. I swear, it was funny. I said, Carson, listen, she was like, bye. She chased that dude with a phasm. She gave me that look. She's like, she doesn't think that the Eagles are winning tonight. She shoots it up. Like, she hates how her team is constructed. She's been watching all year. She hates how her team is constructed. But she hates Carson Wentz even more. So, and he's not even playing. So.
He must be driving. He must be driving Sports City. He's trying not to crash with his son in the car. So just know that he's
really,
trying
I,
to be safe.
I really can't. I got the wife and the son in the car. I got car dog that I need to take care of.
Right. I understand. If he was in a bar, something might go different. Shout out to Jess for humbling that dude. That's why I'm so proud of Jess. She came a long way. She had the humble series, man. She deserved chocolate covered strawberries. But with that being said, I'm rolling with my pops because my brother called. He said at the beginning of the season, he was like, Dallas playing this bad. Watch Washington win the division with the name, the Washington football team. In the same way James had said, the banner going up like that would just be just puzzling to just see that happen and Dan Snyder get something to brag about. I think Washington gets it done. Their defense is playing better, and the notification of them saying just a little while ago that Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson are both ready to play. So Gibson is back. If Gibson has any imprint in this game, I think he will make it an effective one up against the Eagles. Antonio Gibson, I am taking note. You are a monster at the running back position. Only if they could find you a suitable quarterback. If they can find you a suitable quarterback. Okay, so that is it for the brunch. I need plugs and closeouts from the two of you before we get out of here on the new year to spark this one off. Y'all better bring that little 20 quarterback junk back here Wednesday at the cookout because I'm not happy. There's no way. And I'm not that big of a Baker fan. I'm not watching that happen. It's not happening. Okay, so Sirius, I know you got to get home safely, so give me a plug, closeout, shout-out.
Hey, yo, man, it's your boy, Sirius, up in that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be with you guys on the first installment of Sports City in 2021. Man, I got some things coming down the pipe, so definitely gonna look out for that. I will say this. I was going to mention it on Wednesday, but I recall catching a lot of heat from a certain number of chefs in the building about my opinion of the one and only Tua Tagovailoa. I'm going to go ahead and say that for Wednesday, but rest assured, I'm coming for some next. That's all I'm saying about that. You know, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys, man. Once again, I'm glad we all made it to 2021. Challenge yourself this year. Think outside the box this year, man, and become the best version of yourself, man. God bless. I catch you guys Wednesday.
Anything, God bless. There we go. We got him out of church. And Jessica slapping him upside the head. This is great. This is a beautiful Sunday, man. I'm telling you. But he can send all that noise he wants to about Tua. Tell him to come in here because if Tua pulled us off up against Buffalo, in Buffalo, yeah, you come on. You sit on right down. Sit on right here next to me. I want you to come right here. Okay, James, I need a plug, close out, shout out as we get ready to close this thing down here at the brunch.
Yeah, Wednesday should be interesting. And one other thing I want to talk about on Wednesday is Carson Wentz going to start for the Eagles in 2021? It's a big question now, just because of the Marion Sirius has been talking about. Jalen Hurts has been playing. He's been playing real ball. So we'll throw that one in on the back burner for Wednesday. Till then, talk to y'all later.
All right, Sports City, it's time for me to get up out of here. Just like Sirius and James said, it started the year for 2021. Everybody that listens to this, everybody around the world, man, we fought, man. We fought to get through 2020. It's a new beginning. Hopefully we get through this year as best as possible. We all deserve to celebrate our birthday, celebrate our loved ones, everything else, man, as best we possibly can to try to get back to normalcy. This is the last week of everybody getting to see their team, so let's get after it, Sports City. I get to see this Lion team and possibly the last of Matthew Stafford in a Lion jersey because I'm hearing that he may end up with the Colts next season. But I don't even want to speculate where he lands. I'm just done with this Stafford regime. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Yeah. What I do for a living, nigga? Eat for a living, nigga. Try to live for a living, nigga. Watch it. Okay. Let's do this. Watch it. Things just ain't the same for gangsters, but I'm I'm a little too famous to shoot these pranksters. Holding these rap singers, claiming they bangers. Doing all sorts of twisted shit with they fingers. Disrespecting the game, no home training the manners. I was doing this shit when you was shitting papers. I was moving them grams, but you knew what a hand that hand was. Ducking the vans, radars, and scanners. But you knew what hard white and tame was. I was taking the turnpike, I ate with the bammers. I was nice with my hands, cause I ate with them hammers. I was pricking my finger, but you knew where the fan was. I had it laid out, but you knew what the plan was. 300 mil later, now you understand us. You ain't see us coming to Vegas, you ever seen so much sham busting? One night, grand fucked up one fight, I was on a Peter Pan bus. You was putting Peter Pan up in your room. Y'all fucking with whom? Allow me to be taught. You cowards is just now learning the shit that we taught. You niggas ain't know about a ride report. By the high speed Porsche, i.e., you niggas ain't know how to floss. So I came through the door like Eric B. for press. Respect me in this bitch. You can't disrespect us because you got a little check cut. You was sucking for so long, fucking your little neck up. Now you're too big for your britches. You got a few little bitches you think you have, but you just ridiculous. I blew breath in you bitches. I gave life to the game. It's only right, I got the right to be king. Niggas that got life really like what I sing. Cause they know what you really like, niggas feel my pain. Know the shit I don't write, be the illest shit that's ever been recited in a game works to the hyphen in my name. J-A-Y-Hoffa, the past, present, nigga, the future, proper. The holy trinity of hip-hop is us. We give Dre his props, but that's where it stops. It's the rock.
I know.